Fellow auto detailers, welcome to the show that features interviews with today's most successful auto detailers. This is the Auto Detailing Podcast. Here's your host, Jimbo Balaam.
Say, welcome to the Auto Detailing Podcast.
Cast.
No, say it a little louder. Say podcast.
Podcast.
Welcome to episode 283 of the Auto Detailing Podcast. I'm Jimbo, your host, and before we get into this week's episode, let me tell you about AutoFiber.com. AutoFiber.com is a premium source of microfiber towels, and Ian, the owner over there, has partnered with me to promote a couple of these podcast episodes, so that's cool. And there can be a lot of confusion when it comes to microfiber towels as far as, you know, are the super plush ones, high GSM towels really worth the money? Are they not worth the money? So what we've done is I've gone through, Ian sent me out pretty much all the towels he offers for the detailing industry. And what I've done is hand selected and hand picked my favorite of his selection and then created a Jimbo kit. So if you go to autofiber.com, you could check out the Jimbo kit, and it's a curated package by me personally of my favorite towels that AutoFiber offers. And I think it's in the $55, $60 range. So it's a fairly inexpensive option for what you're actually getting. And he does ship internationally for you guys that are out of the States. But if you're in the States, you can get 20% off and free shipping at autofiber.com if you use code Jimbo. So I hope you will, and I hope you enjoy the towels. And hey, let me say this. Thank you for checking it out. Appreciate it, guys. Really, really do appreciate you supporting the sponsors and supporting the show. A lot of you reach out and say, hey, how can I get back? How can I help? And this is one way of me helping you even more, but also you helping the show as well. So autofiber.com, code Jimbo, check out the Jimbo kit and let me know what you thought. So, all right, welcome to episode 281 of the Auto Detailing Podcast. I'm Jimbo, your host. Today, we have Nathan Barron. He's the owner-operator of Barron's Auto Detailing, and he's studying advertising and marketing at Marquette University. So he runs his detailing business on the side, and we're going to get to that here in a little bit. But Nathan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jimbo. I really appreciate it. It's a pleasure.
You got it. And so tell us about how you got into detailing. You're still young, so start with your age and when you started detailing and then how you got into detailing.
Yeah, of course. So as Jimbo said, I'm 19 years old. I'm a freshman at Marquette University. I started my business when I was 17 years old, my junior year of high school. And initially, I just honestly started it because I was looking to make some money, had just bought my first car from my grandfather, worked really hard to get it, and I was like, okay, well, I bought this car. I really want to take care of it and make sure it can last. It was a big investment for me at the time, and I wanted to, at the same time, not have a job at the local pizza place like I had just ended from, so I wanted to have my own business, be my own boss, and that seemed like the perfect option. So what I did is I kind of just Googled how to start an auto detailing business, and eventually I came across just some YouTube videos from Darren Priest out of California, and then I ran into Adam's Polishes and started watching as many videos as I can, self-educating myself, and then as I became familiar with the top guys in the industry, then I went ahead and just called them up and said, "Hey, I'm a 17-year-old guy trying to make my own way and make some money and go to college and educate myself. I'm not like most other kids my age. Would you be willing to help me out? I'm willing to put in the work and the effort and." Like, I mean, I owe it to Darren Priest of Auto Fetish Detail, and then a young man named Carl LaPera out of Michigan. They truly helped me become what I am today and helped me start my business and learn the things that I've learned. And then from there, it's just been a self-taught process, essentially.
What was it? Was it that you got your grandfather's car for the first time? And so you kind of like the realization or what happened with me was I just like had an overwhelming sense of now that I had a newer car, I wanted to take care of it. What was it about kind of the detailing space that intrigued you? Did any of your other family, were they into cars and mechanics or anything like that? Or was it just kind of totally random?
Okay. Yeah. So for me and my situation, I was always raised by both my father and my grandfather. The kind of guys that had always been like, oh, no food or drinks in the car. Like even when I was like 3 years old, like no Cheerios or things like that. It was water. Water's the only thing you can have in the car. And I think with that mentality being raised like that, I just kind of had always been taught to kind of take care of your car. I just didn't really know how to detail or maintain your car. Like I obviously knew, yeah, you should wash your car once a week and vacuum it out, but I didn't know the details, quote unquote, of detailing.
Yeah, so you had the baseline there of like it's important to keep your car nice, but you kind of took it to a whole new level.
Yeah, exactly.
Got
it. And my dad, when I was in sixth grade, purchased a 57 Chevy, so I did have some experience washing like that and kind of taking care of it and going to car shows. So I mean, we're a car family, but no mechanics or other detailers in the family.
Got it. So then what was that like, being a full-time high school student and then trying to start this business? Were you kind of leveraging the connections that you had at school to get your first few clients, or what was that like?
Yeah, so for me, starting obviously as a junior in high school, I mean, that was the year that I took the ACT, so it was quite a busy year. I essentially just started out, I was in an entrepreneurship class. I was in a lot of the business classes in high school for my electives. So I used that to make my first logo. It's a different logo now, but I used the Photoshop and Illustrator on the computers in that class, and I leveraged some of the advice I got from that teacher, and she kind of helped me out, but she didn't know anything about detailing, so that's where taking the initiative to contact other professionals in the area came in. I mean, I always like to say you can do anything you want to do, no matter your age, race, sex, religion. You can do anything you want to do as long as you don't let other people set boundaries for you. And that's kind of where my strong willpower came in, and that I had school and homework and studying for the ACT. Whenever I could, I was trying to further my own education, and that played a huge role in where I am today.
And then you decided, so were you staying pretty busy just working weekends, I'm assuming?
Yeah, so at the time, I initially started only advertising my business through Craigslist. I would just take an ad and repost it every day, and essentially at that time, I was just getting clients like maybe once a week on a weekend here and there. And I mean, let me tell you, my pricing when I first started out, I was probably losing money, to be quite frankly. I remember my first detail. It took me about 8 hours. It was a Cadillac CTS. It was just a 4-door sedan. But it was the entire thing was covered in tree sap. The interior was covered in grease, and I mean, I really underquoted the guy as far as price and timing, and it's been a learning experience ever since then. I don't look at my first clients as failures, even though some might look at your first clients as like a failure. I look at it as a learning experience. So, well, yes, I learned that I needed to learn more in the industry and further my knowledge. I learned that You really gotta try to give more accurate time estimates and not cheat yourself out as far as pricing. I mean, like I said, I cheated myself out of a lot of time and money. I think I charged for that interior on that CTS, I did like $35 inside and out, and that was for 8 hours of work. And obviously, that you're not making money there.
Right.
And I help some other teenage entrepreneurs out. There's a young gentleman that contacted me from South Carolina, and this kid's got a trailer, and he's got a fully contained system with a water tank and a generator. And I was telling the kid, he's got similar pricing to where I started out at, except I didn't have the trailer and the generator and the water tank. And I'm telling the kid, like, you're cheating yourself out of money. You're going on these jobs and you're actually losing money.
Right.
And that's a big issue with young kids. I think teenagers like us, we think, oh, well, since we're so young, no one's going to trust us. And if we don't have that low pricing, no one's going to hire us. Well, that's not the case. As long as you act professional and provide a quality job, people are willing to pay for it, even if you're younger. It just might take a little bit more strategy in how you market yourself and how you brand your business.
Was that something, because I can remember back to when I was younger, and I started my business at 19, but I remember just in life in general around that age, a little bit younger, because I obviously started working at 16 to pay for my car. But so I remember always getting a lot of flack from older people acting like I didn't know as much or I wasn't as qualified to be doing what I was doing because of my age. So did you come across that a lot when you were especially in high school running this business? And then if you did, what are some things that you would do to overcome that?
Yeah, exactly. So I did have that issue. Like, I mean, I was doing everything I could to market my business. As I said, I started just with Craigslist ads, but then eventually I moved on to a free of charge, like $100 Yelp ad campaign. So I tried that out. That worked fairly well. On top of that, I was also going to local car shows and kind of just trying to get my face out there and talk to people. I printed out little brochures and like pricing sheets, and I would hand them out. I would leave them on people's windshields, whatever it was. And I found that when I would talk to guys with, like, a Z06 Corvette or like a GTR or something, I really didn't get much leverage off of them, just because of the fact that I think they didn't want to take the risk on their $100,000 car with a kid that's just talking to you, that's telling you, like, yeah, I just started out this business and I'm really into it and I would be more than happy to help you out and detail your car. And I think what set myself aside and got past that was I started offering little free jobs. So no one likes to do work for free, but sometimes if you're trying to build your credibility, that's what you've got to do. And it's not just about offering a free job. When you offer that free job, you really got to let your customer know your exact processes, how you're going to be doing things, why your process is safer than a car wash detail center or something of that nature. So, for example, and I still do this. I just got a customer. He gave me a call. He's got a Cadillac Escalade, and he had been going to the dealership and having them do work there. And he's like, "Well, yeah, like, I mean, tell me about your experience and why your pricing is so much more expensive than what I was having done at the dealership." And really, it's just about setting expectations. And I've learned that from Darren from Auto Fetish Detail, that it's all about setting expectations. So I told him my exact processes and what I would do, and he still seemed kind of hesitant. So that's where I came in with the offer to do some work for free. So I said, you know what, I see some hesitancy in the way you're talking, but I definitely think we would be a great fit from between customer and detailer. So would you be willing to let me come by your house? I'll do a free wash and wax. You can see my work ethics and how I do the work. I'm not going to be leaving wax in between the crevices on your car. You can watch how I do it, the processes I use. And he said, you know what? Just based off of you offering me that and talking to me and educating me on the industry, because not only did I tell him what I'm going to be doing, I told him about some of the new technology in the industry as well as different methods. So just right off of the bat, he trusted me and he's like, you know what, I'll just pay you. Like, come over and let's do a full one-step paint correction. So you might not end up having to do stuff for free if you really try to put yourself out there. And that's what I try to do.
I'm a huge fan of getting free work to get your name and reputation out there. This industry is so based on your reputation and word of mouth marketing and stuff like that. I know a lot of people. Yeah, I know a lot of people are anti free work, and I say, excuse me. You know, I say if you're just getting started, you know, free work like the scenario that you just talked about is your lunch ticket in. You know, it really is, and I think guys just get their egos way too far ahead of themselves and think that they're this, you know, super sick detailer, and maybe they are. Maybe they are the next number one guy, but no one knows about you yet.
And that's how I look at it. I mean, I see myself, okay, yeah, I'm a mobile detailer. Maybe I'm a little bit younger than most, have different experience. But if you search auto detailing in your area, I'm sure there's 15 other guys that can claim the same exact thing. So
exactly.
And when it comes down to it, if I'm offering a basic wash and wax, what's that going to take me? 35, 40 minutes? But if I give that to that customer and they like the experience that I provide with them, then I might get a $200 detail out of that. So that 35 minutes that I spend with them, educating them and showing them my processes, that's completely worth it to me.
And exactly.
Yes, I might be at a smaller scale than some of the large-scale shops because I'm younger and I'm a full-time college student, but that 35 minutes, that's more than worth it to me.
Yep, 100%. I used to, back in the day when I first started out, I would actually, because I had the trailer and the truck and all that, and okay, on days that I was slower or had nothing going on, I would go down to like the local, well, my dad owned his own business in like this strip center. So, okay, you know, like grocery stores and restaurants and all that. And what I would do is, because my trailer would pull in so much attention, is I would just go do his car, you know, and
yeah,
do his car for free, obviously, because it's my dad. And then,
of course,
but I would draw the attention, and without fail, every time I did it, you know, someone would be at least interested. Sometimes I'd line up an appointment, but it always got the conversation started, you know? So that's a great tip.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, that kind of brings me to the point that, like you mentioned doing the work on your dad's car. I forgot to mention that when I was talking about how I got started, but I say with this industry, it's all about trial and error and learning from your own mistakes. Like I said, about learning from my first details. I didn't see them as failures, but I learned from my mistakes. So I would practice on my car, my mom and dad's car.
Okay.
I invited some friends over. I had a buddy that had a Mustang GT, so I was like, bring a car over and we'll do some work on it together and we can both learn. And I mean, I would not recommend to someone to just get out there and start detailing customers' cars. Like, work on your own car, work on your family's car, and work out the little kinks as much as you can before you start doing customers' cars. Because, I mean, you get one bad review, and that's going to make it a whole lot harder to get future business.
Right. Okay, so now you're at college. How far away are you at college? And I know from our previous conversations, you're at college during the week, so you're still continuing that kind of weekends only gig, right?
Yes.
So how far away are you from kind of your local area that you started your business at?
So I'm from Arlington Heights, Illinois, which is about 45 minutes west of downtown Chicago. And Milwaukee, where I go to school at Marquette, is about an hour and 20-minute drive north. So I can actually usually I'll end up taking the train, which is about an hour train ride and then a 20-minute drive to be picked up, or my parents will just pick me up if I need to. So at the rate I'm at right now in college, I mean, being that Marquette University is a pretty tough school, I try to come home at least once a month to work on my like loyal clients' cars. Basically, during the school year, I'm only doing my loyal clients' cars. And then if I get a call from a different customer that found me, say, on Yelp or whatever it is, or through a referral, then I'll go ahead and schedule them for, say, Christmas break when I've got a couple weeks, or spring break, or Easter break is coming up. I've got a couple customers that I lined up. And once summer starts, then I plan on doing detailing full time, since I'll be home from college.
Is that hard? Do you get a lot of pushback from customers that are like, oh crap, you can't do it till Christmas break? Or since you're not really, I'm assuming that you're not really doing like maintenance washes, or maybe you are, yeah, but you're probably doing mainly like full blown details. So I guess people would be a little bit more willing to wait, but do you ever get pushback on that front of like, oh crap? Like,
yeah. So as far as my business model goes, just due to the nature that I am not available as much as a guy that owns a shop would be, I try to like heavily pitch to my customers, like clay and seal jobs. So interior clay seal,
my favorites.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a great way to really improve the luster and the look of a vehicle, whether a customer's selling it or keeping it. I mean, and I really pitched the sealant that I'm using is rated for like 6 months or whatever. So mm-hmm. I tell the customer, yeah, come back. We'll schedule a detail twice a year. I'll give you a call once your sealant is most likely expired on your vehicle, and then we can set up a new appointment. But what I do when I get a call is, I mean, I'm professional about it, and I just straight up tell the customer I'm a college student at Marquette University, so I actually am only available to schedule appointments during my college breaks or on the weekends. If you're willing to wait till my next available opening, then that's great. If not, I would be more than happy to refer you to another local detailer that is trustworthy. So at the moment, I'm referring all of my work to Luster Detail, which is a detail shop out of, I believe it's Schaumburg, Illinois, which is maybe 10 minutes away from me. And the owner of that company, his name is Ivan, actually. He's one of the authors for the blog on Detailed Image. I'm sure you've heard of him. So I refer all of my customers that aren't willing to wait to him. So, well, he doesn't know me personally. I'm creating a relationship with other professionals in the industry, and then I'm also maintaining that professional image. And a lot of the times I'll get customers that say, okay, thank you for referring me. I appreciate it. I'll think about going to them, but I might even just wait for you to get home. A lot of my customers are more than willing to wait for me to get home. I mean, they, because of the fact that I do this part-time, I'm not licensed or insured. So I do it more as like a part-time gig. And that allows me to have lower prices than a lot of the shops in the area. Mm. So when a customer goes on my Yelp or my Instagram and looks at my images of my work, I post a lot of before and after pictures on both of those. They'll see, wow, he does great work, and he's charging a little bit less than the detail shops. And, you know, why not help out a young entrepreneur? I'd love to give him my business rather than going to a shop that's maybe not paying as close attention to details, or maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But a lot of people are very inclined to helping out that young kid. So, well, sometimes getting trust from people is hard. It's having that young entrepreneur status also helps.
Right. Okay. And are you also learning stuff at school? I'm a little curious, and maybe I'm jumping the gun here, but I'm a little curious if you'll continue this full-time after school, or do you think this is just going to be something to get you through school and then you'll probably do something different when you get out?
So detailing has truly become quite a passion for me. It's something that keeps me up at night. I'm thinking about what else I can learn, if I can take any classes to further my education. I mean, just last night I was on a phone call with another gentleman from Kentucky for 6 hours, and I mean, that's ridiculous. I didn't even know how long the phone call had lasted until I hung up. And I mean, not only am I furthering my education through things like that, but I'm also learning stuff at school. So as you said, like, and we talked about at the beginning of the intro, I'm an advertising major with a marketing minor. So I'm learning the business side of detailing at school. And then I'm in my free time, I'm learning the actual detailing aspect of it. So for example, Because of my major being an advertising major, I'm required to take graphic design classes. So in my graphic design class, I made business cards. I redesigned my logo all on my own, and I created an online portfolio for my business. So I'm also learning, I'm acquiring new skills like graphic design, but I'm also learning how to better market my business. So I've got that side of it, and then, like, I mean, I listen to your podcast frequently, so I'm getting new tips and tricks from that, and just YouTube videos like we mentioned earlier. I'm definitely tying in a lot of different learning experiences and just building upon my knowledge in all different ways.
So do you think you'll continue the business and maybe just blow it up and expand it and take everything that you've learned and built?
Yeah.
You know, because you're going to have, what, like 6 years in to your business, which is pretty significant, you know, from every standpoint. You'll, and a college degree, it seems like you'd come out with a pretty good basis.
Yeah, so, I mean, as of now, looking at how my future is, like, headed, not only am I doing detailing, I'm also getting experience. This summer I'm going to be working with a motorcycle dealership in Illinois. I'll be doing some marketing work for them, so I'm trying to really build upon my experience, because truthfully, I don't know if I want to do detailing when, like, 4 years down the road.
Right.
Yes, I love it, and it's a huge passion of mine, but as of now, just doing it during the summers for a whole summer, I see how labor-intensive it is on your body and your mind, and I don't know if I could continue to be a mobile detailer. Yeah, maybe if I were able to, like, purchase the shop and have some full-time employees that I trusted, then maybe, yes, I would be able to do it. But mobile, I don't think I'd be able to do it. So that's why I'm trying to broaden my horizons and get some work in just other areas of the automotive industry. And maybe working at the motorcycle dealership this summer will give me new experience, and whether helps me decide, yes, I don't want to do detailing anymore for my future careers, that's fine. If it doesn't, I'm sure I'll learn things that I can apply directly to my business. So I know I'm going to be doing marketing. Marketing is not just for one business. It
sure
goes between different businesses. And I know that motorcycle dealership, they primarily do used bikes. They've got a detailer. What if I'm in there and creating conversation with that detailer? It's all about networking in this business. I mean, building those relationships, and I mean, even if it's not just talking with other professionals, how do I know that the top salesman at that motorcycle dealership isn't going to need a detail on his daily driver? I mean, as long as you build those connections, whether you want detailing to be your future profession or not, you're going to be set for a good future if you do it right.
Totally. I always tell people, or I tell my wife a lot, it's like business is business. It's just, you just tailor it a little bit to any industry. So, you know, the marketing principles that people apply to their detailing business can still be used in any other business. They just have to be skewed a little bit or tailored a little bit to whatever that industry is.
Of course. I totally agree with that.
What advice would you give to, say there's a guy out there, he's 17, 18, 25, you know, younger guy. What advice would you give to him out there who he's starting to, wants to start his own business, or he is starting his own business and he's in college? What advice would you give him?
So truthfully, before it comes down to any business aspects or your knowledge, honestly, I highly recommend just setting yourself up with a very supportive environment. I've been fortunate enough to be, I've been dating this girl for 2.5 years, and she's been extremely supportive of all of my business ventures, and same goes for my family. My family's always willing to help me out, whether it's letting me practice on their cars or helping me out on some details when I'm running short of time. If I need help, my mom or my dad, they've been very willing to help me out. I mean, I started my business with a $200 loan from my parents just to buy my initial chemicals, because I didn't have that money to get my chemicals and my equipment. So started off with a basic, like a good, solid support system, whether it's family, friends, girlfriend, wife, whatever it is. And then from there, really try to build your knowledge. Just be an advocate of yourself. Try to learn on your own. It's not always going to come to you. You're going to fail. Like I said, this business is all about trial and error and learning from your own experiences. So be okay with maybe not doing something perfect the first time, but try to make it perfect the next time. And then just from there, try to network. Networking is a huge thing. I mean, at the start, when I was 17 years old, I kind of almost, as weird as it might sound, because it wasn't normal for a 17-year-old, I was almost sometimes timid about talking about my business with my friends and my friends' parents and things like that. But I found that once I started to market my business in terms of my personal social media accounts and to my friends' parents, just like bringing my business up in conversation with my friends' parents, I got my friends' parents as detail customers. Mm. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there, and you really gotta network. Like I said, if you're a small business owner doing this on your own, especially as a young kid, you cannot be afraid to put stickers on your car of your business name, talk to friends and family, do things for free. That's where your success is going to come from.
Right.
And
yep.
I mean, so, also, sorry to cut you off. But
No. I jumped the gun there.
No, it's
sorry.
One of the things that I found about this industry is so many people are very willing to help. Whether it's right off the bat, I didn't have a ton of money to purchase chemicals and supplies. So what I did, and maybe I shouldn't even be saying this, but companies like Adams Polishes, like those kind of niche chemical companies, they're very willing to like help out young detailers like me. Like, I mean, I contacted Adam Patel and Matt Butcher, that's the marketing director and the owner of Adams Polishes, and I said, like, hey, listen, I just got into detailing. I'm 18 years old, just started this business. I've seen a lot about your products, but I don't really have the money to make a huge purchase of your products. Would you be willing to maybe give me some sample product to try out, and then from there I'll start using your products for my business? And not only Adams Polishes, but several other companies in the industry, such as Forma Car Care. It's a new company out of Morden Grove, Illinois, that I started working with recently. They're always very willing to help out young kids, usually. And I mean, you can't be rude about it. Don't just say, hey, give me free products. If you're willing to tell them, like, hey, I'll post stuff about your products on social media, or I mean, for Forma Car Care, I'm posting about them on social media because I actually like their products, and I'm also writing their blog posts, so I'm helping them out and getting business knowledge. But I got that little initial kickstart of not having to buy some products. I always tell kids my age, whether it's with detailing stuff or not, don't be afraid to ask for things before you go and spend $500 on something. Ask for some samples. Ask for a free towel, whatever it is.
That'd actually be a pretty interesting experiment to do, to start, you know, to start a business with just free samples. See if you could start a detailing business with $0.
It's definitely something that would be interesting to find out about. I mean, like I said, Adams Polishes, right off the bat, they gave me a $200 gift card to get anything I wanted off of their website. And I'm not saying that they're going to do this for every young detailer that listens to this podcast, but it's all about building relationships. I mean, I gave Adam a call on the day that it was their 17th anniversary for their business, and I just wanted to congratulate him. I was like, I told him, you and your videos and all the support that your company has given me over the years has really helped me, and I can't thank you guys enough for everything that you've done. And he personally invited me to go out to Barrett Jackson Auto Auction this summer in Las Vegas to help me learn some detailing techniques and detail with them. So not only have I gotten like products from them, it's also helping me build relationships from them. I mean, I'm a pretty respectful guy, and I'm willing to help people out if they're willing to help me out. And obviously, that would be a huge thing for a young kid like me to build credibility, to be detailing couple hundred thousand dollar cars at one of the world's largest auto auctions. Like that's unreal. And
yeah, that's amazing.
It's just opening those doors by networking. You're going to do yourself a huge favor. So that's probably one of the most important things I'd have to say. Like, I mean, now I'm working closely with Forma Car Care, like I said, and I'm starting to build some of the same relationships. And maybe I tell the owner, maybe I don't want to do detailing 4 years down the road, but hell, I mean, I'm building a relationship with him from the ground up. He just launched his business a couple months ago. You never know. If we build a good relationship 4 years down the road when he's looking to hire someone to do his marketing, I might be that person. You never know. It's all about building that relationship.
Relationships are key. They're totally key. So if people kind of want to follow you maybe over the next 4 years and kind of see what you end up doing, or again, that youngster kind of interested in your journey, wants to pick your brain a little bit, kind of see what you've learned, just like you've learned from the people before you, how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, of course. So I'm more than willing to help people out. Like I said, I think I've had three kids within just the last month contact me. And they can find me on Instagram. It's at Barons Auto Detailing, Barons Auto Detailing. Or you can find me on Facebook. I have my contact information and on all of my social media. Honestly, I highly encourage people to give me a call. My number is 773-896-4422. You can give me a call, shoot me a text, message me on Instagram or Facebook. I'm more than willing to help people out. Like I said, this is a very supportive industry, and I want to put it forward just because of the people that were willing to put it forward to me. So, I mean, I talked to the kid from South Carolina. I've talked to him for two separate two-hour intervals and just gave him business advice for those 2 hours. And I mean, being that I am in college, I've got a little bit more time than a guy that's doing this 16 hours a day full time, whatever it is. So I do have that time to talk to someone on a phone for 30 minutes, whatever it is. So I really encourage people to reach out to me if they want that advice.
Love it, man. Love it, love it, love it. I think a lot of people are going to get a lot of good stuff out of this. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no problem, Jimbo. Thanks for having me, and I hope to be on the show again sometime.
Definitely.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Auto Detailing Podcast. Head on over to autodetailingpodcast.com for full show notes and links of everything that we've talked about today. And don't forget to check out our resources page for a direct link to all the products talked about not only on today's episode, but that I use in my day-to-day detail business. They have direct links so you can purchase and get free shipping right from that page. That's autodetailingpodcast.com. We'll see you on the next episode.